So today we are reading from 8th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 14, Text Number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tata Dharmam Chatupadam Manava Harina Udita Yukta Sancharyanti Adha Sve Sve Kale Mahim Nripa Tato Dharmam Chatushpadam Manava Harinodita Yukta Sancharayant Yadha Sve Sve Kale Mahim Nripa
Tata. Thereafter,
at the end of Kali Yuga,
Dharmam,
the religious principle,
Chaktupadam,
in four parts,
Manava,
all the Manus,
Harina,
by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Udita,
being instructed.
Yukta,
being engaged.
Sancharayanti,
re-establish. Adha,
directly.
Sve Sve,
in their own.
Kale,
time.
Mahim,
within this world.
Nripa,
O King.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly re-establish the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. Report. Dharma, or occupational duty, can be established in its full four parts as explained in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita 4.1, the Lord says, Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivashvan manave praha manur ikshvakave bravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku. This is the process of disciplic succession. Following the same process, the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the principles of Bhagavad Gita as it is, without deviation, all over the world. If the fortunate people of this age accept the instructions of Lord Krishna, they will certainly be happy in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone, at least in India, to become a preacher of this mission. In other words, one should become a guru and preach the Lord's instructions all over the world for the peace and prosperity of humanity. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun miritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So Srila Prabhupada is making this instruction very clear to us. One should become a guru and preach the Lord's instructions all over the world for the peace and prosperity of humanity. One may inquire, well, how would becoming a guru and preaching the Lord's instructions all over the world bring about peace and prosperity? One may question. A guest to our temple may hear this and say, well, what would that do for peace and prosperity? Preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. How would Krishna consciousness bring peace and prosperity? We're talking here about pure bhakti, pure Krishna bhakti, a haituki bhakti. If we actually come to this platform, haituki bhakti, this is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, text number 6. A haituki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. That devotional service must be a haituki, it must be free of any motives. And a pratiyata must be unbroken. Not that we, you know, I do bhakti in the morning and sense gratification in the evening, sort of a program. Mm-hmm. You know, or bhakti once a week on Sunday, and the rest of the week I just kick back and gratify my senses. A pratiyata means unbroken. So Bhagavatam says that devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to do what? To completely satisfy the self. We may think we can get satisfaction by taking a break from devotional service. But actually, we're doing nothing but heaping loads and loads of frustration upon ourselves. The actual program is, if we can be uninterruptedly, unmotivatedly engaged in serving Krishna, then we can taste the sweetest happiness at every minute, and that happiness will get thicker and richer and sweeter. The longer that we engage in that way, it will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. In this material world, we are thinking that sex pleasure is a very nice thing, or money is a very nice thing, or power is a very nice thing, or prestige is a very nice thing. You see, we are thinking of wealth, we are thinking of women. Or if we're women, we're thinking of men. Or we're thinking of followers. Then this way I can enjoy it. You see, wealth, women, and followers. But these things are shunned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even liberation from the cycle of birth and death is shunned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chita Gaurahari, that beautiful golden dancing lord, Nagaraj, the king of all dancers, you see, he is giving us also this formula for pure devotional service. And he is the one who is pushing us, become guru and deliver this the people of this world. He is doing both things. He's saying you become pure devotee and you become guru to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So this is the mandate of ISKCON given to us by Srila Prabhupada. You see. We're meant to become gurus and deliver this world from chaos and poverty and all these things. Prabhupada said in one lecture, he's explaining that the mission of our movement is that no one should go hungry. Not even the animals. He says in India, you will not find a single animal who is well fed. They are all very skinny. He said this Hare Krishna consciousness movement is that everyone should be well fed. That's one of the items. Because when we put Krishna in the center, then everything becomes auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious. This is one of the symptoms of one who enters into this mood of pure bhakti. It is described in the Nectar of Devotion that pure devotional service is what? The beginning of all auspiciousness. All auspiciousness means that which is beneficial for all living beings throughout the entire universe. So if one actually takes up this spirit of pure bhakti, then he is actually, his life becomes a blessing upon the people, of the jivas of this material world. You see? So this is what Prabhupada wants. He wants to see that his followers shall become ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. Ideal examples. Sometimes we hear people say, well, there's only one acharya for ISKCON, Prabhupada. There's one founder acharya, that's correct. But Prabhupada in Mayapur, I don't know if you were there, but Prabhupada in Mayapur told us, he said, now we have 10,000. He said, then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1 million. Then we will grow to 10 million. He said, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. You see? So Prabhupada's vision was one founder acharya and 10 million acharyas in this movement. That was his vision of ISKCON. So, we have to see, am I an acharya or am I a deadbeat, spiritual deadbeat? We have to honestly look at ourselves. Am I living the ideal life of pure Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada wants me to live? Or am I kind of mixing it with sense gratification? We have to honestly see how much lust am I keeping in my heart, how much anger, how much greed, how much laziness, how much envy, how much fault-finding is sitting in my heart. The real fact is that each and every one of us is in desperate need of rectification. That's the fact. If you really honestly look in your own heart, it's shocking what's in there. Really. I mean, it's shocking. If we really honestly, each one of us honestly looks into our heart and sees all the crud that's in there, it's shocking. It's embarrassing, actually. It's absolutely embarrassing what we're still holding on to in our hearts. So, the time has come for us to make a change, to get really serious about pure devotional service, you see. This will be the revitalization, the revolutionization of our ISKCON movement. You see, when each and every member of this movement can become very serious about pure devotional service. Ahaitaki bhakti. That I have no motive for my devotional service. I'm not doing it for prestige, I'm not doing it for any material consideration. I simply want to please Krishna, that's all. I want to please my beloved spiritual master. I want to please Srila Prabhupada. I want to please Krishna, that's all. No other desires. If we're going to fulfill Prabhupada's order to us that we should become guru and preach all over the world to bring peace and prosperity, we're going to have to become pretty pure to do that. See, according to our degree of purity in our heart, to that extent, we will have an uplifting impact on the global consciousness. If we ourselves are still hovering on the platform of material sense gratification, then what we can do? You see? We have to conquer over the senses. These senses are our enemies. Just like, I may know that I should get up for Mangalarti. But the mind will say, well, you know, I really find some excuse why I really shouldn't have to come to Mangalarti. So what did Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur say about the mind? Yes, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati has a very good program for the mind. You know that special program for the mind? The rectification of the mind program by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It's a twofold program. You know the two items? Yes, she knows. Yes. In the morning, you go to the shoe rack. And you grab a nice heavy-duty pair of shoes. And 100 times, you beat your rascal mind. Boom, 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 boom. Of those shoes. I mean, some heavy, not just some light slippers, but you need the heavy, thick shoes, you see, to beat the rascal mind. And in the evening time, you leave the shoes in the shoe rack. Now it's time to go to the broom closet. A nice, thick broom, you see. Kawam, kawam. Beat that rascal mind for taking rest at night, you see. Sometimes people say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, I mean, you're not literally saying we should do that. No. We have to defeat the rascal mentality which is lurking within. Today, one of my students from the Middle East wrote me a letter, and she was saying that she was really frustrated because Krishna was not fulfilling her desires. So I had to honestly tell her, this is a rascal mentality. You see, Krishna is not fulfilling your desires. Your problem is not that Krishna is not fulfilling your desires. Your problem is you're thinking that Krishna should be fulfilling your desires. That's your problem. You should be thinking, how can I fulfill Krishna's desires, you see? This is called ahaitaki bhakti. We should honestly look into our own hearts and see how much is my mood that I should fulfill Krishna's desires versus Krishna fulfilling my desires. We should honestly look in our hearts. Where am I situated? As I'm purely thinking at every minute, what does Krishna want? What does Prabhupada want? What does Guru Maharaj want? Am I purely thinking that way at every minute? And carefully watching every thought, every word, and every deed to see that it's in harmony with that principle? Or am I thinking, why isn't Krishna fulfilling my desires? You see, doesn't he know I need this for my service? Doesn't he know I need this to be happy and satisfied? We have to honestly see, how is my heart leaning? Is it leaning towards ahaitaki bhakti or towards karma mishra bhakti? We have to see. And we have to actually, beating the mind really means to take control of your consciousness and push it towards ahaitaki bhakti at every minute. You see? In all times, all places and circumstances, whether I'm at the temple, whether I'm out there in a 2-hour traffic jam on the freeway, whether I'm at work, whether I'm in line at the grocery store, whether I'm at a doctor's office, whenever and wherever I may be. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram. I should bring that mind under control by bringing it back to the point that I have to achieve, I have to focus on achieving pure devotional service. Sometimes people don't want me to talk about this, pure devotional service, as if it were taboo. But the fact is, this is the most important thing. The most important thing. I know it's important. I know it's what Prabhupada wants. It's everywhere in his books. Prabhupada personally told me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Now, can one see Krishna face to face if one is not a pure devotee? Of course not. So Prabhupada was pushing me. Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So what stands in between seeing Krishna face to face? So many layers of lust, so many layers of greed, so many layers of anger, so many layers of envy, fault finding, etc., etc., etc. So I know what I have to do. I got my orders from my spiritual master. I have to be working on those, getting those anarthas out of my heart. So that day will come when I actually be able to see Krishna face to face on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Many persons come to this movement and they leave this movement thinking it's not for them, didn't give them what they wanted, etc., etc. But the fact is, this movement will give everyone exactly what they want. This process will give everyone exactly what they want. The only reason it doesn't is they weren't working the process as it is. They were doing something else. You see? If you work the process that Prabhupada has given us, according to his instructions, if you work the process absolutely will work. There's no doubt. Each and every member of this movement can qualify themselves to see Krishna face to face. That's the thing. We simply have to work the process at every minute, in every situation, with every thought, with every word and every deed. And if we focus on this, on achieving this state of pure Krishna bhakti, then I guarantee you we will be able to fulfill the mandate that Srila Prabhupada has given us to lead this world out of chaos. This is the unique facility being given by our society that Prabhupada has started. This is the place in the world where one can actually develop, cultivate pure devotional service, Ahaituki Bhakti. So we focus on our core activity, which is developing pure Krishna consciousness. Someone may say, well, actually our core activity is, you know, spreading the movement. That's more important. But that's not what Prabhupada said. He said the most important thing is to spread the movement, but even more important is to save yourself. So our first duty, our first mission is to make ourselves purely, bring ourselves to the point of being purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, everything else will follow. You see? If we revolutionize our own hearts, then we will see how this movement will revolutionize this entire planet. That's a fact. As within, so without. Clean up your insides and we'll see the whole world becomes cleaned up. That'll happen. Bahir Nisinga, Jadaya Nisinga. Within Nisinga and without Nisinga. We're praying it every morning. Bahir Nisinga, Jadaya Nisinga. Now let's make it real. Let's invite Lord Nisingadeva to sit in our hearts and clean all the crud out of it. Completely all the crud. And at the same time, let's be dedicated now to making the whole world Krishna conscious. That everyone, through every corner of the world, will be happy. The people will not be brutalized and victimized. And oh, it's horrible what's going on in this world. It's so horrible. How many, even in our society, because we haven't focused on pure devotional service, so many children have been abused, you see, so many wives have been abused. So many people have been abused. Why? Because we're not focusing on pure devotional service. This needs to be emphasized as the most important thing in ISKCON. That each and every one of us has to cultivate this mood of pure devotional service. Because this will solve all the problems within our society and within the world society. Ahaituki vrittiyata yayatma supasidati. That's where it's at. That's where it's really at. That's where the nectar is. If you want to taste the nectar, the pure devotional service is where it's at. What does the nectar devotion tell us? What does Prabhupada explain? Actually, it's coming from Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. The pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of distress. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. It puts one into a state of great transcendental ecstasy. It's very rarely achieved also. That means we have to really strive diligently. It's not an easy thing. Of course, it is easy. If properly practiced, that's also there. We were in San Francisco, I think Dvija Hari Prabhu may remember, he was also there. When Prabhupada came, he gave that lecture on Subhadra Devi's cart in the Rath Yatra in 1971. Prabhupada explained to us actually how this process is easy. He said, every one of you have seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Prabhupada explained, every one of you is drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He explained, to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. So why do we experience it as difficult? It just means we're not practicing it, that's all. We're not working the process as it is. We're letting our minds get off the track and get diverted by pseudo-Krishna consciousness. That's the problem. We're not staying focused, we're not staying on track of pure bhakti. Ahaituki apratiyata. So this we really have to do now in our society, in ISKCON movement. We have to focus on pure devotional service, each and every one of us, all the way from the top down to the bottom. Everyone has to focus on pure devotional service. And then we will see miracles happen all around us. You see. Prabhupada predicted this movement will actually save the world in its darkest hour of despair. That means the day will come when the world leaders will come to the ISKCON devotees. Please tell us how to run our country. We can't even run our own movement right now properly. But we're actually meant to lead the whole world. Why our movement is improper? Because our own hearts are improper. That's why. So we simply have to come to this point of pure devotional service, each and every one of us, and everything will come from that one thing. You see? It's like my hand is moving and the shadow is going under it automatically. If we focus on pure devotional service, and everything will happen automatically. All the auspiciousness. ISKCON will flourish. It will come back to its golden days, and it will go even beyond what we had in the golden days of ISKCON. It'll be even better. Actually, Prabhupada has not left. Prabhupada is with us right now, right here. In that wonderful Shakti, that Prabhupada Shakti, that so much enthused, invigorated, enlivened, inspired, and pushed us out the door for preaching and spreading this movement, taking all kinds of risks and sacrifices for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Prabhupada Shakti is still here. It's right here and it's right now. We just have to connect with it. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. That Prabhupada Shakti is still here, right here, right now. So if we connect with that energy, that divine potency, that pushing of Srila Prabhupada, you see, that attractiveness of Prabhupada that pulls our minds away from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, then we can revolutionize this planet in 18 days. Prabhupada always said like that, in 18 days we can make the whole world Krishna conscious if you would just fully cooperate with me. So what are we waiting for? Why are we holding on to our material desires, practicing semi-Krishna consciousness? We're only cheating ourselves. So in this way, we will take very, very seriously each and every instruction that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. Then we will find the most wonderful dawning pure devotional service within our hearts, in all the nevritis, all the anartas, all the crud that we've accumulated for millions and millions of lifetimes, it'll go away. We'll actually come to the point of becoming a fixed up devotees, nishta platform. And then from there we'll go on and we'll get the sweetest taste from chanting Hare Krishna. We're struggling to get our rounds done, but you know, the holy name, it has so much nectar that one pure utterance of Hare Krishna contains more ras than this entire universe can contain. Just like we all have experience of that very nice sweet gulab jamun, that wonderful juice that comes oozing out of that gulab jamun. So Prabhupada has given us the ultimate gulab jamun, Hare Krishna. That is the ultimate gulab jamun. And it has so much gulab jamun juice in it that the whole universe cannot even hold the juice that oozes out of one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. The universe will have to break open because the juice will just push through the those thick coverings of the universe, that juice will be so powerful in its expansion that it'll break through the coverings of the universe. Actually, one pure utterance of Hare Krishna has the potency to deliver every single jiva in this universe. Did you know that? Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if a devotee of the Lord can chant Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, then he becomes Jagad Guru, the spiritual master of the whole universe, and by the potency of his chanting, everyone will become Krishna conscious. So just see how important it is as we're battling it out with the anarsas when we chant our japa every morning. You see, if we can become pure chanters of the holy name, just by our japa we can spread this movement and bless the people on this planet who are suffering in birth, death, old age, and disease. Adi Atmik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik misery. So every time we chant Hare Krishna, we should try to do it with purity, with love, not mechanically. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With great devotion we should chant the holy names. And then that nectarian Krishna Prem that's present, locked in the mantra, it'll just start coming out and inundating this planet. You'll inundate our hearts and inundate this entire planet. And the much desired happy days of Bhagavad Dharma can manifest on this planet. Everywhere people can be peaceful and prosperous, as Prabhupada is saying. So in this way, each one of us can become guru and live our life in such a way to benefit, to bless all living entities throughout this entire world, just by focusing on pure devotional service and talking about it to each other and to the outside world, how important it is. So in this way we can fulfill our duty, and ISKCON will fulfill its duty, and the whole world will become sane. That is our mission. So now we can ask if there's any questions. And I'm hard of hearing, so speak loudly and clearly, and I still may have to have someone relay it to me. Yes?
Guru, since we know that, like, you just gave the whole lecture on we should all become guru, so that means the Prabhupada, we're all his disciples or grand disciples. So how should we deal with the people that claim Rithvik society? Mm-hmm. Maybe they feel I can be guru, but even though Prabhupada's gone, I'll just be his disciple and be guru.
Yeah.
So how is this going to affect ISKCON, and shall we concentrate on just ourselves and becoming better devotees, or should we be worried about them and what they're doing?
I'll give you an example. How much did Prabhupada bash the Mayavadis? If there's a philosophy which is masquerading as transcendentalism and is dangerous for the pure understanding of Vaishnavism, then Prabhupada would spend a lot of time and energy defeating it. How much he talks against the Mayavadis. So we actually need to educate this Rithvikism is another philosophical deviation, just like Mayavadi philosophy is a deviation. So Rithvikism is a philosophical deviation. It needs to be solidly defeated. That doesn't mean that we hate the Rithvik, our Rithvik friends. We should always have nice dealings, nice loving dealings, respectful, sweet dealings. But when it comes to philosophy, we should be strong. That's all. We should be very strong. The whole Rithvik idea, I know it's not true. Very clearly not true. I mean, even when I was a brahmachari out on traveling Sankirtan back in 73, I had this idea that, well, there's so many Mayavadi gurus, and people are attracted to gurus. It's a fact. If someone has the position of guru, spiritual master, people are attracted to that, and they like to go hear a guru and meet a guru. It's a fact. So I was thinking, well, I was pretty bold, Ramacharya. I wrote Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, if I presented myself as a spiritual master, you know, advertise that here is a guru, you come and meet him, he'll enlighten you with his words, etc., etc., etc. Would that be, would that be a good idea? And Prabhupada said, I gave him some other ideas how I could practically, you know, write books and make recorded lectures, etc. And Prabhupada said, your proposals are very pleasing to me. He said, now consult with the GBC for the realization of these proposals. So it was a little early. The GBC was angry at me, like any. But Prabhupada was encouraging me, yes, you can become guru. You can be presented as a spiritual master, and people see, here's a spiritual master, he can enlighten you. Prabhupada approved of that concept, personally to me. He encouraged me, and told me to consult with the GBC for the realization of that proposal. So when the Rishis say that, you know, you can't be a spiritual master, Prabhu, then I ask them, well, who is my guru? Are you my guru, or is Prabhupada my guru? Prabhupada encouraged me that I could become guru. And another letter he also told me, he said the desire to be spiritual master is a spiritual desire. He said it means all material desires finished. He said, whether you can be like that, he challenged me. He said, whether you can be like that. So I have Prabhupada breathing down my throat. He's probably, his power is always there saying, whether you can be like that. I feel his constant pressure. Because to be in the position of a spiritual master means you have to be completely free of all desire. So I'm just begging Prabhupada every minute that please let my every thought be pure, let my every word be pure, let all my actions be pure. But Prabhupada wanted us to be spiritual masters. That's a fact. He told us, as I quoted in our lecture today, he wanted 10 million acharyas. And he made it clear that these would be persons who would be initiating also. He explained how they would be initiating disciples also. And this was not just a private conversation. This was a lecture during the Mayapur festival when devotees had come from all over the world. So we don't really give much credence. They say, well, the final order was the July 9th letter. The final order regarding initiation. But in October of 1977, just days before his departure, Srila Prabhupada gave another order regarding initiation. He said, now in this condition, I will stop initiating. Prabhupada was initiating from July 9th forward through the agency of his rithiks, quote unquote. They were doing all the functions, but they were, all those people were going into, their names were going in the book of Prabhupada's initiating disciples. So Prabhupada was initiating from July 9 forward. He was still initiating disciples. But in October he said, now in this condition I will stop initiating, and you that I've deputed, you initiate now. It's right there in the Vedabit. So this whole rithik idea that only Prabhupada is the spiritual master, it goes completely against Prabhupada's teachings. It goes against what Prabhupada personally told me. It goes against what he said in his lectures, in his letters, and in his books. And they argue, well, that Prabhu, you know, that really means just an instructing guru, not an initiating guru. That's their argument. But if you look in the purport too, Madhya 7:128, Kibra Vipra Kibra Nyasi Shudra Kene Noi Jay Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hoy. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are, if you know the science of Krishna, you can become a guru. And they would say, oh, but that's only a Siksha Guru, Prabhu. You are concocting that it's a Diksha Guru. But read the purport. Read the purport to that verse in which Prabhupada quotes Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That gives it double potency. Prabhupada is saying, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur are saying, that in this verse, the word guru is equally applicable to Siksha Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, and Diksha Guru. So, when Lord Chaitanya says, one who knows the science of guru can become, the science of Krishna can become guru, it's confirmed by our by Srila Prabhupada in our Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, he can be an instructing guru, he can be Bhartma Padarshika guru, and he can be Diksha guru. And they will argue, but Prabhu, so many of the gurus, it's obviously wrong because so many gurus fell down. So we must abolish this thing of, you know, the continuing disciplic succession after Prabhupada. Well, how many marriages ended in divorce? Why don't we abolish marriage? Because there have been so many, you know, ghastly murder scenes in married life. Does that mean we abolish marriage? No. Don't end it, bend it. You see, we don't end the marriage institution. We create an atmosphere where the marriages will be successful. That's all. You see, we find householders who are ideal in their married life, and we learn from them how to have an ideal married life. You see, that's what we do. We don't abolish marriage. We find ideal householders, and we model ourselves after them. And then that's what we do. So if guru disciple relationships are not proper, that doesn't mean you end the institution. But you have to find gurus who are proper, who properly, with all humility, with all submission, without any pride, are just humbly carrying on their service that Prabhupada gave, and see how they're doing it. See? So in this way, we have to carry on the instruction that Prabhupada has given us in full submission to his instructions. We shouldn't concoct some solution, some half-baked solution that doesn't really, you know, that seems to solve the problem, but really it just creates another problem. It would seem the Rithikism would solve a problem of unqualified spiritual masters, but it creates another problem that we're deviating from the Mahajanas. It creates another big problem, you see. And the real, and I'm sorry to say this, but the real bottom line issue is that the propounder of this Rithikism, who's written this doctrine, the final order, actually, he simply wants to be a guru himself. He wants to be big acharya. And because he wasn't qualified, now he's found another way to come in the back door and make himself the acharya of the new enlightened ISKCON that he hopes to create. He wants to be the acharya, but he's deviating from this acharya. That's the problem. If someone wants to be a big acharya, then let them be completely submissive to this acharya. Then he can be acharya. But if someone who wants to take this acharya's words and twist them a million and one different ways, he is simply rascal. This person grew up in Krishna consciousness as a member of our youth forum at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Now, how many of you, growing up, addressed your parents by their first names? I know I didn't. I grew up in a Christian family. It was mother and father, respectfully. Now, how much that's even more true in a Gujarati family in which he grew up. But he insisted on his calling his parents by their first names. He had never called them mother and father. This is the mentality of the one who has written the final order. You see, he didn't even want to respect his own parents properly. This is a person who has no respect for anyone except for himself. And he is seeing an opportunity to try to establish himself as the acharya of ISKCON and steal this movement away from Prabhupada and his sincere followers. Now, unfortunately, because he's very expert at word jugglery, and because there have, in fact, been many problems in our society, many, many sincere devotees have been hijacked by him. They've been philosophically, psychologically hijacked by him. It's a fact. So in a very compassionate way, by sticking to the teachings, sticking to the system that given us by Prabhupada, we hope to win as many of them back as possible. By loving, by sincere love, and by sticking to the valid understanding of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So any other questions? So everything has made sense? Everything made sense? There was nothing that didn't make sense? Everything, every statement I made sense to you? Yes.
Prabhu, might be in some people's minds the concept that pure devotional service is in some way restricted to those who are on the gradual path to Krishna consciousness. It may seem that they aren't able to fit in because it's a society with such high standards that doubt may arise in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, therefore, we have actually, here's how it works. First of all, become 1% pure. We encourage people, all right, you're completely contaminated, become 1% pure. Now become 2% pure. Now become 3% pure. So everybody is welcome. It doesn't matter what level you're on, whether you're completely contaminated, whether you're almost completely contaminated. It doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome in this movement, and whatever level you are, but you should be trying to move up the scale, 1%, 2%, 3% purity, 5% purity, 6% purity. Someone might be discouraged. Well, you know, unless I'm a pure devotee, I'm not really welcome in this movement because this movement says everyone should become a pure devotee, so I really don't belong here. I don't fit in. Forget it. You know, I can't handle it. But no. Everyone is welcome. How much Prabhupada opened his heart to everyone, no matter what level they were on. Prabhupada was setting the standard of pure devotional service. The statement of His Divine Grace in this connection is, one should be strict on oneself and lenient upon others. So we should be very, very strict on ourselves. But when it comes to others, we should be very, very liberal. Not that, well, you know, just like I got one of my students, computer systems professional in Bangalore just sent me an email this morning. And she's staying with two other girls who are both practicing, doing some puja, you know, they have some spiritual activities in their apartment. But one girl came back the other night completely drunk. She couldn't even get up the stairs, completely plastered. She ended up sleeping in the hallway on the floor. So this, my student, was saying, now I don't even talk to her, you know, like completely shun her. I don't want to get contaminated. So I very strongly chastised my student that this is the mentality of the smarta Brahmins. Prabhupada's mood was one of complete, total compassion. I said, you should just be so loving and kind to her, to encourage her. You see? So this is... those who are actually advancing in pure devotional service, they will be seen by how much they are compassionate to others. If someone is masquerading, yes, I'm a great pure devotee, and who are you, you scum? You see, they're a very contaminated person, actually. It's a show only. The person who is actually the most compassionate, that's the person who's advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, this loving kindness, this appreciation, this, as we oftentimes explain, what is ISKCON? What is it anyway? Is it the buildings? Is it the properties? Is it the vehicles? Is it the corporate charters? Is it the bank accounts? No, the real meaning of ISKCON is the loving relationships we have with each other. That's ISKCON. If there's no love, ISKCON is dead. There is no ISKCON anymore, you see. To whatever extent we can actually love each other, you see, and encourage each other in our Krishna consciousness, that is this kind. So, this being understood, the more that one is actually becoming situated in pure devotional service, is advancing in Krishna consciousness, they will feel genuine love and compassion for others, wanting to do everything they can to help those persons to advance and encourage them. So in this way, I don't think it's a problem if we focus on pure devotional service. Real pure devotional service, not pseudo pure devotional service. The whole world will be attracted to join this movement if we actually manifest a genuine mood of pure devotional service, not the fake pseudo pure devotional service that is sometimes masquerades as pure devotional service, even in our society, until the so-called pure devotee bloops. You see? So, any other questions? So everything is... I'm just, yes?
It just occurred to me that it's especially difficult in America for the children of ISKCON that have been raised as devotees to take to this pure devotional service, it seems, because America is just so much the epitome of sense gratification, the pushings and the urges, the dress, the music, the entertainment of like that, and how can we somehow give them, shelter or guidance? When they were little, but now that they're, the young adults themselves, it's
a great problem. Of course, the original responsibility lies on the parents. The parents are compromised in they're not fully focusing on pure devotional service, then naturally the kids will pick up on that mixed devotional service move. And that will, that will be a great impediment for them in their advancement. The first responsibility is on the parents, but as we are a spiritual family, then we all take that responsibility too. Not just they're your kids, it's not my responsibility. No. Each and every one of us should take a responsibility to be a good example of someone who is serious about Krishna consciousness. We should be a very good example of someone who is serious and who goes out of their way to help and encourage those who are attracted to Krishna consciousness but don't really... having difficulty to actually fully get into it. Krishna consciousness really is more attractive than sense gratification. It really is. So we have to have that conviction ourselves, and we have to communicate that by the way that we speak, the way we think, and the way we act. And that will have an impact. Yad-yad-acharati shreshtas tattareve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanivartate. If we can actually be the good examples of someone who is very, very serious about Krishna consciousness, who is relishing the sweet nectar of becoming very serious about Krishna consciousness at every minute, then that will have a big impact on the Gurukulis, the youth, who felt that they've been ripped off in many ways by our generation. You see? It can be turned around. These are very good kids. They're very good kids. It's amazing. I just read what one Gurukuli girl has written. It's posted on dandabats.com. She was so much accepting the pure values of Vedic culture, completely, totally, with great enthusiasm, embracing pure Vedic culture. One Gurukuli girl, just written, posted on dandavats.com. So there is great hope. There is very good hope that the next generation will be taking over our movement as we're gradually dying off. Our generation is dropping like flies now. You see. There is great good hope that this movement will be successful to fulfill the mandate to lead the entire world out of chaos. Questions more? Yes, Prabhu.
I was wondering how you see this kind of movement growing. I mean, we know to this point what's happened. How do you see it manifesting in the future? Just from your experience?
Well, I'm seeing in my own personal preaching, I was struggling like anything, running a small preaching center to attract people in Austin, and it wasn't really going anywhere for years and years. And it's still kind of just, dragging along with a small little congregation. I went on the internet, and I've got explosive results on the internet. Right now, I've got over 4,000 people that I'm cultivating through the internet in over 100 countries. And now my wife and I, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, my good wife, and we were traveling all over the world just to meet face to face so many people that we're contacting via the internet. So we spend most of our time traveling and preaching all over the world now. We're hardly ever back in Austin. This is the last day of our North American tour, and then we're going back. We're going back to Austin for one day, and then we're going to Mexico for a few days, and then we're coming back, and then doing a 5-month around the world tour through Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, the Middle East, India, Malaysia, Australia, Fiji, and back, and then come back for a little bit, and then do another European tour. So we're. I see that there's, and we travel all over the world, we see that this movement is actually incredibly wonderful movement, and it's offering great hope to, and I'm just seeing that if from my own practical experience, if we take a determined consciousness that I want to become pure and I want to dedicate myself for making the whole world Krishna conscious. That's Prabhupada's order. Each and every one of us should take the responsibility for making this movement successful. Not just, that's the GBC's responsibility, the Guru's responsibility. Forget it. Prabhupada wants you to make the world Krishna conscious. You see, he wants each and every one of us to take the responsibility for elevating the global consciousness on this planet. So if we take this mood, every one of us can try to really become an acharya, as Prabhupada has ordered us to become acharyas. Then we will see this movement grow by leaps and bounds beyond what we can even conceive as possible. I really think that we can see this whole planet embrace this movement. Prabhupada told Sri Dhanananda Maharaj in one letter, he said, if you will simply focus on these three things, read, chant, and preach. Is that difficult? Divija Hare Prabhu, read, chant, and preach. Is there any difficulty? That's nectar. He said, as much as possible, read, chant, and preach. He said, if you do this, then very soon this Krishna consciousness movement will be accepted as the only religion in the world. Now, is Prabhupada just trying to encourage us with some hypey words? Or is Prabhupada giving us the facts? Is Prabhupada just pepping us up with some hype? Or is Prabhupada giving us the truth? The absolute truth. No, Prabhupada is giving us the truth. The fact is that we can revolutionize this planet if each and every one of us would simply, as far as possible, read Prabhupada's books, chant quality japa, and tell everybody, tell each other, and tell everyone else about Krishna, and hear about Krishna from our fellow devotees too. I envision a whole world that can take this movement. Even within our very lifetimes, this whole planet can take up Krishna consciousness. It's possible. It is possible. So let's try for it. Even if we don't succeed, at least we'll go back to Godhead, guaranteed. Prabhupada says this in the Bhagavatam. He says, he defines a Krishna conscious being in this purport. Now my question is, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings or not? Pundarikakshan Prabhu, are you supposed to be a Krishna conscious being? Of course you are. Prabhupada wants us to be Krishna conscious beings. So Prabhupada defines a Krishna conscious being in the Bhagavatam. He says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. He's always thinking that way. And Prabhupada says even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed and anyone who follows him will achieve perfection. So actually, that each one of us should be thinking, how can I make this entire planet Krishna conscious? That's the order given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We do that not individually. We do it by working together as a spiritual family. Let's face it, delivering the whole world is a huge Rath Yatra cart. And you know, I cannot pull that cart alone. It's not possible. You cannot pull that cart alone. Divija Hari Prabhu cannot pull that Rath Yatra cart by himself. But if each and every one of us will work together and pick up the rope on the Rath Yatra cart, it will be a juggernaut, an irresistible power which can inundate this whole planet with pure devotional service. So I cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. But if each and every one of us will pick up, every member of ISKCON will put their hands on that rope, and we will work together to pull the Jagannath Rath Yatra card of inundating this planet with Krishna consciousness, we will see an amazing revolution on this planet. amazing. It'll just blow our minds. Wow. I didn't know that the movement could be this successful. Any more questions?
Yes. What is your website address?
Yes. Well, I have many websites, to be honest. I have a repertoire of websites. But the entry point into my self-realization course is called www.backtohome.com. Backtohome.com. Because we want to take everyone home. And that's our mission that Prabhupada has given us. So, yeah, I'm sitting there on a park bench. There's a picture of me sitting there on a park bench in Austin looking on Town Lake with a big smile on my face and beckoning everyone to come into the world of transcendental bliss and urging them to sign up for the course. So, it's very effective. People, every day, more and more people are coming on board from all over the world. It's very effective. And Krishna somehow blessed me with this opportunity to have some powerful preaching position in cyberspace. It's his mercy. Trying to use it and not be carried away by pride or egotism, or, you know, just try to take it in a humble way. Somehow Krishna has blessed me with this. Let me use this in such a way that Prabhupada will be very pleased and my fellow devotees will be very pleased with me. Any other questions? I think that's probably a good stopping point. What do we have there? We have some... Mother Vishnupriya and I travel with some deities. You may have heard of these deities. These were the personal deities of His Holiness, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Sri Sri Radha Damodar. You might be able to get a darshan. Are they put to rest? They're still... Right after this class, if you want, you can come to our room and have darshan of them also. But in the meantime... Bring the prasadam here. Huh? Should I distribute it from here? What are you saying? We have their Mahaprasadam available. Sri Sri Radhadamadar Mahaprasadam. Anyone who would want that, you can come forward and take. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Antarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.